it is to be able to be back together again, even outside.
Amen.
Amen. Celebrate this Easter, and now our good friend Jesse Adams will deliver the message. Into the Word of God. As recorded in Mark chapter 16, verses 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And upon entering the tomb, they saw a young man standing on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you up to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, but they were so afraid. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we pray to God that you would use these moments for your honor and your glory, and that, Father, as we worship you, at the same time, our hearts will be encouraged, they will be filled, continue to live for you, because you live for us. In the name of Jesus. For many who believed and followed Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus brought a cloud over the city of Jerusalem and surrounding areas. Sorrow, bereavement, and disappointment. The crucifixion and burial of Jesus was very close to the start of the Hebrew Sabbath. And so the burial was quickly. And of course, it had avoided the traditional means of anointing the body. The anointing of the body was not necessarily to keep the bones from decaying. But rather yet, it was an act of love for the deceased, and at the same time, it may have, shall we say, delayed the deterioration of the remains of the deceased. And so, because they worshipped on the Sabbath, the anointing was not done. And this, of course, brought these three women to the tomb early the first day of the week, which would be our Sunday. They went in love. I'm sure that sorrow filled
their hearts. And their biggest concern, of course, was, well, who is going to remove the stone from us? The stone was of circular shape. It was very heavy. And usually during that tourist time, the stone was rolled into a trench, which made it even more difficult to remove. And with this concern, they plodded on till they reached the tomb, which they knew. Upon reaching the tomb, they were shocked and alarmed. Number one, the stone was removed, and there was clear entrance into the tomb. Secondly, there was a man. We know it was an angel. And according to the Gospel of Mark, it was the angel that removed the stone. And then he gave the joyous message, the overwhelming message, you've come to seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's not here. What? He's not here. They buried him, didn't they? The Romans said that he was dead. What do you mean that he's not here? And he said, he's risen, as he said. Come on in. See the place where the Lord lay. And now I have one thing that I want you to do. I want you to go tell his disciples and Peter that he is risen. And he goes before you in Galilee and he'll see you. And so they left the tomb. And today, all over the universal Christian community, people are gathered to celebrate this good news that Jesus is alive. And as we have gathered here this morning, I want you to do one thing. You might find it difficult. Because you say, when I say this, you're going to say, what in the world is he talking about? But I want you to hear the tune.
What?
The tune? It has no life in it. It says nothing. Oh, yes, it does. And there are three things that we need to hear on this Resurrection Sunday morning. And I think it's very good for each of us today in 2021. The first thing that the tomb says, that it declares the power of God. For these women, the question was that the stone is heavy. We are women, and this is not to put women down, but they were honest. So we can't move it.
Sure.
And when they went there, the tomb, the stone, was removed. Why? Because God had opened it. He sent the angel to remove the stone. And I don't know this morning what stones might creep up into our lives today and in the future.
Reach it, honey.
None of us were, all of us, shall I say, were shocked when they told us about the COVID. And it's been a year since I have stood in your midst and fellowshipped, and I wish I could have. But none of us were prepared for that stone. But praise the Lord, he is removing it. God has the power. And we need to remember the words of the Lord all throughout the scripture, that nothing is too hard for God.
Nothing.
And be real. We know that even today, that there are a lot of people, that there's a stone before their eyes. a stone in our lungs. It could be unemployment. It could be sickness. It could be how in the world will I meet the financial needs to go to college? Or it could be any other thing. It could be a marital difficulty. Or it could be a relationship on the job. And we have a God that says, I am here. Remember that the barren wombs bore children. That over 1 million people walked on dry land through the Red Sea as the walls of the Red Sea stood up above them. Jesus walked on the water. Jesus healed the sick. And over in the scripture, Jesus said, it may be impossible with man, but it's not impossible with God. God is able. And this morning, the declaration of the tomb is to trust him, to not be afraid. That Almighty God is with you, Almighty God stands before you, and he will remove that tomb, that stone. Not only is the removing of the stone something that alarmed those three women, but the fact that the deceased, the breathless, had come to life. That Jesus Christ was alive. The power of God to overcome the evil of man and to be victorious. In our lives today, many people find themselves with stones in their lives of different forms, especially spiritually. And yet God is there to remove that stone. The deceased became alive. And he brought to the disciples joy, peace, because Jesus is with us and he's no longer gone. And indeed, when he left this earth, he left the promise, behold, I am with you always. And I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus, God, he removes the stone. May he remove the stone from our hearts. Secondly, the tomb declares the accuracy of the word of God. Even after individuals were told that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was risen, there were attempts to put this reality down. They did not believe it. They gave out money, said, well, listen here, we'll give you a few pennies, and if anyone comes to us and asks about it, we'll keep you safe. Because back then and there, to let the prisoners or someone escape that you keep from escaping, it meant your death. And so they said, hey, don't worry about it. Today as we gather, and as the church all over the world gathers to praise his name, there are others who say, well, this day is Easter parade day. Or this bunny's going to lead some nice, lovely chicken eggs for us. Or, you know, it's time to have the Easter parade. Or we say, okay, how are we going to get the money to buy all these new clothes that we need our kids to dress up with this morning, and so on. And this is Easter for them, but for us, and even the lowliest of us, It means that Jesus is alive according to his word. Now, when I spoke about the accuracy of the word of God, I was not necessarily speaking concerning the entire word of God. I'm placing the fact that the word of the scripture from the Old Testament and from the New Testament emphasize that Jesus would rise from the dead. The patriarch Job, who is said to have lived before Abraham, brought these words of testimony. Although worms destroyed this body, yet in my flesh I will see God. And it was not only Job, but David declared in the Psalm chapter 16, that thou wilt not let my body decay in hell. And then in the servant passage in Isaiah chapter 53, it says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried for our sin. He made his home with the rich, speaking about the tomb of Joseph Arimathea. But it says, yet his offspring shall see the Lord. And this happened, my brothers and my sisters. And then it was Jesus himself who said, well, I want to back up. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 says, many in the dust, asleep in the dust of the earth, shall wake. Some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt. In the New Testament, there are 12 times that Jesus stated that he would arise from the dead. And the tomb says Jesus was right. All throughout scriptures, the resurrection, life after death, has mentioned, and Jesus now has proved it. And while this sermon deals with the resurrection of Jesus and his words about him coming back to us, let us remember in this day and in this time, when there are forces on various sides who do not believe the word of God, remember the word of Jesus that said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And so again, when we face the stones that are in life, let us remember that we have the promises of the word of God for us as God's children. And we believe it, and we are safe, and we are secure because the word of God is true. Finally, the tomb declares the completion of God's plan of salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is known as the resurrection chapter. And here the Apostle Paul, he basically says that this is the gospel that was delivered unto you, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, praise God. And that he was risen, he rose from the dead. And yet, within the confines of that community, there were those who said, Christ isn't dead. This is a falsehood. This is a fable. And Paul declares that if Christ be not risen from the dead, then your faith is in vain. In other words, the apostle says, you might as well give it up. You might as well go back to the Old Testament and start sacrifices, because the death of Jesus meant nothing. We cannot have the death of Jesus for our sins and for our salvation without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The two are one, that he died and that he rose again. he also says in that chapter, Christ is the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep, which means that all of us will go to fall. You know how it is when we plant a garden. We put that tomato plant into the earth and we see it grow and grow, and it's growing, but we're waiting for the first fruit, which simply means that other tomatoes are going to come. And this is the analogy in comparison with Jesus and us. That Jesus died, and he was the first one to come back from the dead since by sin, death entered into the world. And so, through one man, Jesus, the resurrection of eternal life has come. And this morning, as we gather here together, we praise God for saving us. We praise God for the forgiveness of sin. It's because his son, Jesus, died for us, and he has risen. The plan of salvation points to two things. Number one, that God now can restore our life. In Ephesians, Paul says that you were dead in sin, but now you have been made alive in Jesus. And right now, on April 4th, 2021, we can experience the life Jesus in us through the Holy Spirit who is there, because we have repented of our sins and we come to Jesus. And not only right now, but one day, life as we see it today, with the beauty of the sun, the beauty of the trees, we no longer see. But one day, the trump of God shall sound. And we who are alive and who believe in Jesus, and those who are dead believing in Jesus, shall rise up to meet him in the air, and so shall we forever be with the Lord. Amen.